You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it Soil Church, asking you to come grow with us in the soil. If you're looking for good, sound, biblical teaching right from the Word of God, come grow with us in the soil. You can find us on Facebook under Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us and find us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, you can tune in on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord 10 a.m. right here on We Talk Radio as well. And we're asking you to come grow with us in the soil. Don't meet us there, beat us there. And I can assure you, God will have a word for your soul. So come grow with us in the soil, and you can tune in every Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time live, or on We Talk Radio at 10 a.m. every Sunday. I'm looking for you to come grow with us in the soil.
Please welcome to the stage, Ted and Sherry. I wrote this song for Ted and Sherry. I don't know if y'all knew that.
Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show, right here on We Talk Radio Network.
Good morning to everybody out there joining us on this morning. I want to thank y'all for spending this small segment of your time with us on this morning. I am Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, and I want to thank y'all for just spending this small segment of your time. You've got 24 hours in a day, and you may spend about an hour or so here just allowing God to pour into you so that you can go on and have a dynamic, impactful 23 hours of the rest of your day. So let's start off by allowing God, okay, to start our day off right, allowing God to speak into our hearts and our minds, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything that we're asking for, everything that's lining up, everything that we need will be added to us. So I want to thank y'all for joining us on today. Today is July 18th, 2021. And I'm just thankful to be in the land of the living. I am thankful to be in the land of the living. A lot of you saw a video that I put out. A lot of you saw that. Some of you thought that I'm a project manager in construction and all that good stuff. That was an example of I had a foundation, okay, a construction site that was in the background that I wanted to use as symbolism for what we're going to talk about on today. Every now and then I'll do some unique illustrations out there to just kind of get our minds set and to kind of get us focused on what the message is going to be about. That was one of those. And thank you for just taking your time to listen to that, to just focus in on that. And I love to do everything I can to make sure the Word of God is presented in a way that will stick to your spirit, that will stick to your soul, that will continue to resonate in your life. So that is I'm no movie star, I'm no Denzel Washington or anything like that, but I will do everything I can to make sure that God's people, his sheep, feed on his word and that you can use the word, apply the word into your life. So I want to thank y'all out there on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. I want to thank y'all on Zoom as well as We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station. So without further ado, I want to go ahead, all let's open up with a word of corporate prayer as we prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to receive the wonderful word that God has for us on today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another blessed and wonderful day, Lord. Because you made this day, we will rejoice. Because you made this day, you had us in mind. Because you made this day, Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. We didn't have to be in the land of the living, Lord, but you graced us with your mercy. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. But because we live in this day, use us during this day, Lord. Use us for your effective, just to effectively build the kingdom of God. Whatever you need us to do, that smile, that word of encouragement, that getting somebody, getting their mind transformed and changed from depression to moving into what you have for them, Lord, by just using us to speak truths into people, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, because there's always something for us to do to add to the kingdom of God. Lord, there is always something for us to do to add to the kingdom of God. So we thank you for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly, and we thank you for all that you're doing. We ask that you renew our mind, Lord, renew our strength, and just help us to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word on today, Lord. Open our soil so that your seed can be planted, so that the harvest can come forth in a way that you need it to like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank y'all that have joined us on Zoom. Thank y'all that have joined us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, the Soil Church Online platform, as well as We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Radio Station. So as we talked about, I'm going to go ahead and dive right into the word here. As we talked about in our last message called The Blueprint, a lot of you remember that from last week. Those that didn't tune in, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that message, The Blueprint, last week. Okay, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Radio Station. Go back and listen if you missed it. We're going to connect some dots here with this message here as we talked about the blueprint last week, because as we remember, Jesus had recruited his disciples. He has 12 disciples. And the people around the region, okay, the region where he started his ministry, he began to gain some traction and follow him and the 12 disciples. The people around, here's the deal. they were astonished, okay, at Jesus' teachings. Because, you know, he taught in a way that they had never heard before. They had never heard the Word of God be presented as practically, as uniquely, as the way Jesus had taught the Word of God. What I want us to understand is that he had a unique way of explaining things, and he would teach these things. He would use what they call parables to teach stories, to make a message plain so that the people could connect with the message. He would use practical instructions, as we talked about the parable of the prodigal son and how the son left and he came back and the father's arms were opened and he welcomed the son back. But the son left and the son went off because he wanted his fortune then and he wanted to go out. He spent it all. And then after he found out that the grass was not greener on the other side, he came back, but yet the father's arms were still open. There were many parables that Jesus would teach. There were many things that he would show people so that they could connect with the Word of God. Because as every effective leader, every effective speaker knows that you have to be able to connect with that audience. You have to be able to connect with the people that you're presenting information to. Because when there is a connection, then there is a reception. I'm going to say that again. When there is a connection, there is a reception. The Holy Spirit is already showing out this morning. Put it in the chat. When there is a connection, then there is a reception. It's received once it's connected. It's received once the seed has been planted. When a seed is planted, the Holy Spirit is already, I had a feeling he was going to do that this morning. I'm way off track, but I'm on his track. When a seed is planted into the soil, that connection is the soil that comes together and says, okay, we're going to grow this thing. Then it takes water, it takes light, but that seed and that soil, they have a special connection. But not until they connect, the seed cannot grow. Not until the Word of God connects in your life, the seed of the Word of God cannot grow. Not until the Word of God connects in your life, the seed cannot grow. So we want to make sure that we prepare our hearts and we prepare our minds to receive the Word of God. Because y'all listen here, we need this Word like never before in our life. The devil is so busy right now. The people of God have to be even busier. The devil don't take no breaks. Okay, he don't go on vacation. He is always lagging around, seeing where he can devour. He's always creeping around to see where he can devour, and he wants to catch the people of God off guard. He wants us distracted. He wants us off in left field somewhere. He wants us to have our minds and our focus on all these other little things and focusing on the small potatoes. But you know what? It's the small foxes that destroy the vine. I'm on a roll. It's the small foxes that destroy the vine. We have to protect that vine. We have to protect what God has given us. I'm already preaching. We got to protect this Word of God. Once that seed is planted into the world, we got to protect it. We got to let it grow. We got to let it nurture. We got to allow it to blossom into what God needs for it to do. So it is up to us to make sure we stay on high alert to protect this seed so that it can become everything God needs for it to be. Church is not something just to do. Church is not something, as we talked about last week, about just being part of church flow. This is real. COVID is real. The enemy is attacking. Gun violence is out of control. We have got to wake up, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to be about the Father's business. We have got to wake up, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to be in position like never before to do what God needs to be done like never before. It is up to us to make sure that we stay focused and that we stay on point, to be used and called when God needs for us to be called, to be used according to his purpose and his plans. I'm trying to stop. The Holy Spirit is continuing to move. It is our goal, and it is our duty, and it is in us to be in ready position. You see how these messages are now starting to come back? We have to be in ready position. We have to say, Lord, I'm available. We got to be available for his word. We got to be available for his work. We got to be available for what he needs us to do, because the enemy is always attacking. But it is up to the people of God to make sure we are on point and in position. Somebody needed to hear that, because the Holy Spirit interrupted everything here. You needed that motivation. You needed to get up and wake up. You needed some spiritual coffee to hit your spirit, because you've gotten weary in well doing, but the devil is a lie. You've gotten weary in this season. The devil is a lie. You hear death all around you, and it's gotten you off track. You're out of focus. You're out of position. But I come to tell you right now, God is in control. Don't you allow the enemy enemy to get into your mind. Don't you allow the enemy to get into your thoughts. The devil is a liar and his pants are on fire. The devil is a liar and his pants are on fire. So you stay in position and don't you get weary in well doing. You continue to be strong and only courageous, very strong and only courageous, and you cross that Jordan River. You part that Red Sea. You do everything because unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to that power, that wonder-working power, that mightyful power, that power of all powers, that power from our Heavenly Father, who was able to do it through you because you made yourself available. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. God is on the throne, and there is nothing that he can do, nothing that he can't do that is beyond what we can think or ask, because he is able to do exceedingly above what we can think or ask. So you stay encouraged. Don't you give up. That was for you. The Holy Spirit spoke to you. And now I'm going to get back to this message, but we just had to make a small detour because somebody needed that encouragement on this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that that person, whoever they are, they received that word. The soil and the seed came together, and they're going to go forth and do what you need for them to do. We're not tired, and we're going to stop speaking tired. We're going to stop speaking weariness. We're going to stop speaking defeat. We're going to stop speaking discouragement. We're going to stop speaking anxiety. We're going to stop speaking all these things that the enemy wants us to say because there's power in the tongue. But we're going to go forth and do what you need for us to do. We're going to walk. We're going to press on, and we're not going to give up. We're going to press on toward that mark, and we're not going to look back. We ain't got time to turn into no pillar of salt. We're going to continue to move forward and do what you need for us to do in this time, in this day, in the name of Jesus. The prayers of the righteous availeth much, and we don't have time to allow bygones to continue to haunt us, unforgiveness to continue to distract us, to hold on to all these things that's keeping us ensnared from being free in the Word of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I speak liberty over all of God's people. I speak justice over all of God's people. And I speak the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Listen, when the Holy Spirit moves, it is up for us to move with the flow of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we have schedules and we've got plans and we've got all these things, but can we make ourselves available and allow God to come in and just detour our plans? His thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, are not our thoughts. His ways, ladies and gentlemen, are not our ways. But we have to be available so that we can hear when the wind is blowing and the Spirit needs for us to move. That is how the power of the Holy Spirit works. We have to be in position. So when he flows, we goes. Put that in the chat. When he flows, we goes. Put it in the chat, somebody. When he flows, we go. And we do what God needs for us to do. All right, I'm going to try to get myself ramped back down so I can get back to this word. Amen? All right, thank y'all. Thank y'all for just being obedient and for being on point this morning. All right, so we were talking about Jesus, and we were talking about the blueprint, okay? And the blueprint is, remember, he gave the Sermon on the Mount. He gave the Sermon on the Mount, and that was representative of the blueprint. This is where Jesus taught the Beatitudes. This is where he was teaching them to love thy neighbors and love thyself. He shook up the foundation with this blueprint, and he challenged the scribes. He challenged the Pharisees. He challenged the Sadducees because they were so connected to the law. Jesus was beyond that, and he caused a lot of disruption because he was teaching what he needed us to know and to understand in order to elevate to the next level of our life. He had a church to build, and I'm already getting ahead of myself here in this message. But he could not build that church with the way the Levitical law and all those laws were during that time. Because in order for us to go to the next level and to welcome salvation into our life, we had to have a revised blueprint. Okay? But what I want us to understand, out of all the learning and everything that we have that Jesus gives us, okay, even if during that time, okay, here's what I want us to understand. We cannot give, y'all, what we do not have. We cannot give what we do not have. So we have to feed on the Word of God so that we can give the Word of God. We have to feed on the Word of God so that we can continue to move on the Word of God. Brother, I'm just going to go ahead on and go with the flow here. We're going to be all over the place. So my team, I want y'all to just bear with me here. We're going to be a little bit unorthodox on today. All right. So we cannot give what we do not have. But here's what I want us to know. We're going to put a scripture up here. It's going to be in Proverbs 4 and 7. And what I want us to understand is in Proverbs 4 and 7, I'm going to tell you about something. The beginning of wisdom is this. We have to get it. The beginning of wisdom is this. We have to get it. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Some of the translations we know, in all your gettings, like the original King James Version, in all your gettings, get understanding. But what I love about the New International's Version here, because we're going to go somewhere with this word, the beginning. The beginning of wisdom, okay? In order, before you step right into wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. You got to get it, because you cannot give what you do not have. Though it costs all you have, you have to get understanding. We're going to put our first slide up on this morning, and what I want us to understand here is the disciples gave all they had. They gave up everything. Peter was a businessman. They were doctors and lawyers and tax collectors and everything. They gave it all up, y'all, in order to spend 3 impactful, dynamic years with Jesus to get supernatural understanding. They gave it all up in order to spend 3 dynamic years with Jesus to get understanding. That's called sacrifice. That's called sacrifice. Now my question is, that I want to ask us on this morning is, what are you willing to give up in order to get understanding? What are you willing to give up in order to get understanding? Remember, the beginning of wisdom is you have to get it. Okay? And as it says here, all that you have, okay, you have to get understanding. It may cost you everything to get the understanding, to get the wisdom, to get the knowledge. My next question for you is, what are you willing to sacrifice in order to receive wisdom God needs for you to receive during this season? During this season. Okay? Our next slide shows the beginning of wisdom is to get it, but it comes with a sacrifice. The beginning of wisdom is to get it, but it comes, ladies and gentlemen, with a sacrifice. And I love the New International Version of the text because it talks about the beginning of wisdom. Y'all, my team is because I can be all over the place and all that, they do the best they can to keep up with me. I love them. They know me, I know them, and we're going to try to make this thing work, because I don't know when the Spirit is going to erupt again. So we try to be as orthodox as possible, but sometimes when the Spirit flows, we go. And I know sometimes I'm a hard person to keep up with, so y'all bear with us here. But we want what God wants for you, and that is for you to be blessed by this word. Now, going back to the scripture here, the beginning of wisdom is to get it, but it comes with a sacrifice. Now, what I want us to understand something about Jesus. He's very familiar with the beginning. He's very familiar with the beginning. And as a matter of fact, John, okay, the disciple John, one of the disciples John, okay, remember he's the one that referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He referred to himself, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. He opens up his book of the Bible, in the book of John, which is found in the New Testament, right? We got the Bible here with two hands. I just want to, just in case somebody doesn't know, I never like to assume that everybody grew up in church, everybody understands the Bible. I am a teacher by heart, and I want to make sure, remember, in all of our getting, we get understanding, because I want to impart spiritual wisdom into you, okay? The Bible is like two halves. We have a left hand, which is Genesis through Malachi, which represents the Old Testament. And we have a New Testament, which is Matthew through the book of Revelations, which is represented by the right hand. Okay? And John here, this is not our structural scripture of the message, but as we've got quite a few scriptures here, and I just want to make sure that we understand where these are found in the books of the Bible, and we understand who wrote them, why they wrote them, so that we can put this into practical understanding to know the importance of what God needs for us to know in his love letter called the Bible. Okay, and John here, I want us to go into John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, because John referenced something here about the beginning. And as we talked about, Jesus is all too familiar about the beginning, because right here, I want to read something here how John just starts off. Okay, we understand the book of Genesis, but John says, yeah, but I'm going to bring this into a different structure here just to reference the beginning. There's a new beginning that's happening, and I want to reference that. So in John 1:1, it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in, here's that word, the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. I'm going to stop right there because I want us to understand something. As we understand and who the He is, we're going to break that down and talk about that. As we understand the Holy Deity, okay, some of us know it as the Holy Trinity, okay, which makes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Godhead, we then understand that Jesus was in the beginning. John tells us about a great transition of Jesus, and we're going somewhere with this message, y'all. Hang tight, bear with me here. John tells us about the great transition of Jesus, and in John 1:14, in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's talking about Jesus. He went back from the very beginning. And, of course, remember Jesus, as God said, let us make man in our image. Jesus was a part. Remember God used the power of relationships, called on the Holy Spirit, called on the Son. The Holy Spirit gave us his power. God gave us his image. And remember, Jesus gave us his life. Okay? So the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us was what Jesus gave us. So out of all of eternity, remember Jesus on the throne, receiving glory, angels praising him nonstop, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Out of all of eternity, Jesus steps into time. Okay? He steps into time. Time, which is something, it's an earthly thing. We have to have time to be able to measure life, to be able to measure structure. Jesus steps into this. And what I want us to understand is this represents, once he did it, it represents the beginning of Jesus. It represents the beginning of Jesus. We call that day Christmas. Okay, we call that day Christmas. Now, our next slide that I want us to understand is Jesus is deity poured into humanity. Jesus is deity poured into humanity. And for his new assignment, okay, we're going somewhere here. But his new assignment, he started in, here's that word, in humble beginnings. Sounds a whole lot like a foundation, doesn't it? He started in humble beginnings. But I want to do something right now. I want to speak to that person, someone that's just beginning something. Somebody that's just beginning something. The beginning is not always beautiful. It's not the most beautiful of things. It's not the most eye appealing, and it's not the most luxurious type of thing when you're first starting out in something. The beginning is not always beautiful. The beginning can sometimes seem like a joke. People didn't take Noah very serious for a long time when he had a couple of 2x4s and started building that ark. They laughed at him. They joked. They said, this dude is out of his mind. He needs to put that stuff down. Manoah, you need to get off that stuff, right? You do whatever. It ain't rained here in so long. It looked like a joke. But he kept building. He kept hammering. He kept doing what God called him to do, despite all the rhetoric and despite all the nonsense and what people continued to say about him. Because when God speaks something into your spirit, when God gives you instructions on something, you don't sit back and wait on the approval of others. You don't sit back and wait for someone else to validate what God told you directly. If God told you, you get the hammering. If God told you, you get the building. If God told you, you get the moving. Remember, when the wind blows, you go with the wind. And anyone and anything that creates resistance against what God is telling you to do, it's pruning season, because you have to be about the Father's business. You have to be about the Father's business. Okay? Because remember, only what we do for Christ is what's going to last. Not only how we please people, not only how we satisfy everybody else, not only how we spend our lives trying to make everybody happy and make people appreciate us and all these things. They don't have a heaven or a hell, ladies and gentlemen, to put you in. And you're not going to stand before them come judgment. You're going to stand before Almighty God. So if you got to prune, you got to prune. If you got to move, you got to move. If you got to pivot, you got to pivot. Because when God gives you something to do, you have to start in the beginnings. And sometimes beginnings means I got to change my surroundings. Okay? So the beginning, you know, folk might talk about you. They may discount you. They may say that you're crazy and that you're out of your mind. But I'm going to tell you something here about this guy here. And I want to read something out, Zerubbabel here, out of the book of Zechariah, which is found in the Old Testament here. I'm going to read Zechariah 4 and 10, but I'm going to read the Message Bible's translation here. And God is asking him, and he's saying, because he knows, right, during this time here, the temple, Solomon's temple, needs to be rebuilt during this time, right? And Zerubbabel was assigned to do this. But what I want us to understand is, here's what God says. Does anyone despise, do you dare despise this day of small beginnings? He had gathered up a few stones. He was trying to get some things together. And people like, man, you need to listen. He was given an assignment. The angel came and spoke to him, and he was given an assignment to rebuild the temple. And God is saying, does anyone dare despise this day of small beginnings? Does anyone dare it? When you know my hand is on it, are you daring this? Are you daring this small beginnings? Are you daring what I'm calling this person to do? Does anybody dare it? It may look like a joke right now, but just keep on watching. It might look like a joke right now, but you keep on building. It might look like a joke right now, but don't you give up and don't you get weary in well-doing. This is what I want us to understand. Because here's the deal. It's not about where you start. It's all about where you finish. It's not about where you start. It's all about where you finish. The Apostle Paul murdered Christians. He assented to this young deacon by the name of Stephen to be stoned to death because Stephen was preaching the gospel, telling it like it was. But at the end, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Okay, I had lived. I've come to the end of my road. I've had that because it wasn't about him being Paul the Christian slayer. Saul the Christian slayer, that is. It was about him becoming Paul the Christian praiser. That's how he ended. So it's not about where you start. It's everything about where you finish. All of us have a beginning. All of us used to be something else. And if it had not been for the Lord on your side, if it had not been for God's goodness and mercy, if it had not been for the grace of Jesus, where would any of us be? Where would any of us be? So the beginning is what I want us to understand. The beginning is where Jesus spent the first 30 years of his life filling up on wisdom, filling up on knowledge. We have very, 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 very little account of Jesus between the ages of after he was born. There was a little section when he was 12 and he was found in his father's house. Mary had lost her mind. She didn't know where Jesus was, and he was in the synagogue praying and teaching already. And then all of a sudden, at age 30, he goes and he gets baptized by John the Baptist, and then God is pleased, and now he's ready to start his three dynamic years of ministry. But that first 30 years, he's filling up with wisdom. He's filling up with knowledge. He's growing. He's maturing. He's dotting I's and crossing T's, and he's getting ready to change the world. So don't you be despised by the day of small beginnings. Because we all start somewhere, but it's not about where you start. It's not about how you start. It's all about where you are going. The beginning is also where God created the heavens and the earth. Remember, the earth was without form. It was void, without form. It wasn't pretty. We didn't have beautiful lakes and mountains and all these things here, but that was just the beginning. But he brought it into formation, and now we have the structure that we have today. The beginning is when a child is first conceived and the mother begins to experience changes in her body. The beginning is starting a business. And while you don't have everything that you want, you realize that, in fact, you do have everything that you need, because everything you need is in the house, in the house of God, in the house of what he's given you, in the house of your life. You may not have everything you want, but you've got everything you need. So starting in your home office, okay, just like I'm doing right now, starting in your garage, okay, Dr. Tony Evans started Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in his garage. Jeff Bezos started Amazon in his garage. We have to respect starting. We don't give enough kudos and enough respect and love to people starting. And as time goes on, things begin to build. And now Amazon is one of the top 2-3 companies in the world. But it started in somebody's garage. Okay? A lot of stories like that. So we have to make sure that when people are starting, let's encourage them. When people are starting, let's continue to motivate them. Because one day it may look like a garage, but it may turn into the Taj Mahal someday. Okay? So let's don't get weary in well-doing. Let's don't despise a day of small beginnings, because I want us to understand something. That's called a foundation. I'm just giving you a sneak peek into where we're going. The beginning is called a foundation. So what I want us to understand here is, we put our next slide up here. Anyone that starts anything has a beginning. You started riding a bike and it wasn't pretty. You started learning how to write and it wasn't pretty. You started learning how to be potty trained, and I'm sure your parents can tell you it wasn't pretty. But that foundation was being laid in your life. That foundation was being sown into your life. So it's not about where you start, it's everything about where you're going. And anyone that starts anything has a beginning. So whatever you're building, gain that knowledge, gain that experience from the beginning. Again, I say, it may not be pretty, but there is wisdom to gain. It may not be pretty, but there is knowledge to gain. You can't put a price on wisdom. Somebody needs to put that in the chat. Somebody needs to share that. Text somebody. Send them an email. Send them a telegram, send them a card, whatever you need to do. You can't put a price on wisdom. Now back to Jesus and the teaching of the people that are following him. He left. He finished the Sermon on the Mount. They continued to follow him because they were so astonished with his supernatural wisdom. The crowds continued to build up. And not only were the 12 disciples constantly following Jesus, but he gained traction because he's doing things during this time like turning water into wine, okay, into fermented grape juice, okay? We think all the time, oh, that's liquor in the Lord. Fermented, safe drinking water for a party, okay? That was his first miracle on earth, all right? And then he continued to heal sick people, and he teached, and he did so many things, so he gained a lot of attraction. The crowds began to build up as they followed Jesus. Because unlike the Jewish scribes who had their traditions and opinions, Jesus spoke with authority, and the authority of the voice of God. What he would do is he began to teach and break things down in ways that they had never heard before. He spoke with a supernatural authority that they had never heard before. So after some time had passed, he continued to do this, continued to motivate, continued to inspire, continued to give word, and continued to lay that blueprint for the people to follow. More people continued to witness the miracles that he performed. And he received great teachings, and they received, okay, those that were around him, they received great teachings from his wisdom. But just as any great teacher would do, over time, Jesus wanted to start gathering some feedback from what some of the people were thinking. He wanted them, especially those that were closest to him, those 12 that he handpicked, he wanted to ask them some questions and throw them a pop quiz and things of that nature, as great teachers do, because he wanted to understand, what are you thinking and where are we right now? Where's your mind? Where's the perception? How are you soaking in all this? Because sometimes those of us that are busy in ministry, sometimes those of us that are in the real thick of it all, sometimes we have to make sure, are things resonating with us? Are we too busy doing work that we're not receiving work? Are we too busy doing work that we're not receiving the word? So he just did something like any great teacher would do. How are you processing what you're learning? How are you processing what you're learning? So what he did was he took the disciples to this place called Caesarea Philippi. And what he did, this place here was about 25 miles north of the Galilean Sea. The timing in which he did this, there's no coincidence, because there was a great temple nearby the Sea of Galilee during this time that were all honoring, in this temple they were honoring the Roman emperor during this time called Caesar Augustus. Yes, the same Caesar that was involved in the crucifixion of Jesus, that guy. They were all honoring him. He was one of the greatest emperors and most powerful people during that time, because the Roman Empire was like, you could say, maybe America, right? During this day, it was the greatest force on earth during that time. So the person that was leading that place, that Roman Empire, is what I'm trying to say. That Roman Empire is considered to be one of the most powerful people on the face of the earth. So what I want us to understand is, now during that time, the most powerful man is 25 miles away, so you know there's a lot of attention going on around there. A lot of people waiting to see Caesar, a lot of people around that temple. So all the focus is really on this leader, one of the greatest and most powerful influential people during that time. I mean, he created the money system during that time. They paid taxes to Caesar. As you hear Jesus say, give Caesar what's his, give God what's his, right? I mean, this guy was the most powerful man, okay? From a law standpoint, from a practical standpoint, one of the most powerful men during that time. So Jesus did something. He knows that the disciples are probably distracted because Caesar's around. He knows that all the chatter and all the talk and everything else is going around. So in all this talking and all this chatter, everything that's going on, the great emperor is 25 miles away. The great emperor is here. It's all the time, all the focus. The press is there. People are laying out carpets and the red carpet and all this stuff here. You can just see it right now. Whatever kind of paparazzi they had during that time, you can just see them all around. See them all around during this time. But Jesus took his 12 to a secluded area and said something. And what he did, because he already knew the answer. Okay, any great attorney is going to ask you a question, and they're going to already know the answer, but they're trying to check your character. They want to know, this person that I'm defending, can I trust them? Is this person going to tell me everything, or are they just going to tell me what they want me to know? Because if I'm going to represent them, I have to get down to the nuts and the bolts of the situation. But Jesus, in his omniscience, he did something that was unusual. He's getting ready to teach a lesson within a lesson, because that's what great teachers do. They stretch your horizons and they challenge you to think beyond your measures. And sometimes, in order to know where the students are, they have to give tests that we call pop quizzes, midterm exams, chapter reviews. So now, despite all the distractions that are going on, and y'all hang in there with me, we're getting ready to get into the meat and the potatoes of our message here, but I'm allowing us to connect these dots here. We left the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is spending some time ministering. Okay, he's laying hands on the sick. They're recovering. He's doing these wonderful miracles and all that. And at some point, he has to stop and say, I need to see how they're receiving this. Those that are closest to me, are they too busy working, or are they receiving this? So I just want to know something. I want some feedback. He poses a unique question to the 12 disciples to gather some feedback, and in doing this, he's going to teach a lesson within the lesson. Now, last week, we talked about the Sermon on the Mount, and our message called the Blueprint, as we mentioned, and now we're going to move into the next phase of our process of our message. So if you will, before we get into this, let's talk about this question that Jesus is getting ready to pose. Let's talk about the next phase that we're getting ready to step into. So if you will, open your books, your e-Bibles, your hard Bibles, whatever Bible that you have here. We're going to also put it on the screen if you don't have one. But I want to go into the book of Matthew. We're going to read some dialogue between Jesus and a unique disciple, and how the teacher gives this chapter review, this pop quiz, how he gets feedback, and he's going to teach a lesson within a lesson. And in Matthew chapter 16, we're going to come from verses 13 through 19. Matthew chapter 16, from verses 13 through 19, I am going to read from the New International Version's text of this message here. And I'm going to start right here in verse number 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, okay, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He's talking about himself when he says, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He turns, he looks at all of them. He's looking at every last one of them, from Thomas through Nathaniel, okay, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Simon, okay? He's looking at all of them, James. "Who do people say that I am?" They replied in verse number 14, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still," keep that word in mind, "and still some, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." That's what Jesus is saying right now, okay? That's what they're saying about me. That's what they're saying about who I am. They're saying that I'm other people. They're saying that I'm other prophets. They're saying all these other things, and I get it, because they're here today, gone tomorrow. They're kind of all over the place. They're all focused on Caesar being in town, and I get it. But then he turns and looks at them and says, "That's all good. Who do you say I am?" Let's set them on the side for a second. But those of you that I handpicked, those of you that have been following me since day number one, when I said that I was going to, if you follow me, I would make you fishers of men, you gave everything up to gain this wisdom. So I want to know, who do you say I am? Scratching their head, puzzled. I can see it right now that Daniel's like, "What? I don't get it." I can see right now Thomas, he already kind of doubting. Judas, you know he quiet because he ain't quite right. Matthew is kind of, you can just go around the horn. John probably weeping right now, just, "But Jesus, I just love you," you know. Luke, he quiet, just writing, just documenting. Mark, he's just kind of off in his own little world over there. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God fell on this disciple by the name of Simon Peter. And the Spirit of God fell on him, and God spoke through him. And he looked at Jesus straight in the eyes and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus looks back at Peter. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." There's no way your natural mind could have answered that question. There's no way everything that you've seen and understood in your mind, in your capacity, could have answered that question. "But my Father in heaven gave you that information." So as a matter of fact, since you were in position of submission, because he spoke that through you, obviously your door was open to receive his word. Your soil was pushed back so that seed could fall in, so that could be spoken through you. I recognize that harvest. And as a matter of fact, here's what I'm going to do. Upon my rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to drop the Simon from your name, just like he changed Saul to Paul. Here's another name change, the first name change. I'm going to drop the Simon, and I'm just going to speak. When I call you your name, I'm just going to speak who you are. I'm going to speak your position. I'm going to speak what you're doing as far as following the blueprint, and I'm going to call you Peter. No more Simon. From here on out, you are Peter. You know why you're Peter? Because you're that rock. You're that rock that I'm building the foundation with. I'm going to build my church among you. I'm going to build my church upon you. I've been waiting for the rock. I've been waiting to lay my foundation, but I had to throw a pop quiz in there to make sure that we had a solid rock. I had to make sure that somebody was in position so as I build this thing, they can carry this forth, because he hadn't told them yet, but Jesus was like, I'm only going to be here for a few more years. But I got to make sure that there is a rock to support what we're building here. He identified that through Peter. And the Bible records it saying, Jesus blessed God. He praised God because somebody got it. When you're a teacher and at least one of your students can say that they got it, it makes you feel special that your work was not in vain. It makes you feel special that somebody got it. When you're a parent and you over and over and over been trying to teach your children, show your children, and finally they get it, it finally resonates, it makes you feel special. Jesus went into a praise, and he thanked God. And he said, again, here in verse number 18, and I tell you, Peter, because Peter means rock in Greek, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why the church lives on. This is why the church, through COVID, through storms, through rain, the church continues to live on. And what I want us to understand is, as the church continues to live on, we have to know that it is built on a solid rock. It is built on a rock of the salvation of Jesus. So God revealed this answer, this pop quiz to Peter, and Jesus praises God because this is called the Great Confession. And again, anytime that we're building something here, I'm going to go a little construction. Remember, Jesus is a carpenter, right? Anytime we're building something, the rocks have to be laid first before the concrete slab can be poured. The rocks beneath the foundation will help ensure its stability and longevity, and this is why the church continues to live on. Now, I'm putting up the next slide here because I want us to understand something. We have to let Jesus lay the rocks in our lives so what he gives, we strongly hold on to. Okay? What he gives, we strongly hold on to. It's supported by a strong foundation. And regardless of the boisterous winds that happen in life, as long as the rock is supporting the foundation, we're going to hold on to the teachings of Jesus. Because on our next slide, what I want us to understand, the foundation of any structure, the church is a structure. But in any structure, the foundation of any structure is only as strong as the rocks beneath. It's only as strong as the rocks beneath. So the answer to the midterm exam came from Peter by way of God revealing this to him. This confession from Peter represents the bulldozers. Just think about a piece of land. Now Jesus is ready to build. Now the bulldozers are coming and knocking down trees, okay? They're knocking down trees, and what I want us to understand, the land has now been surveyed. The debris is getting moved out of the way. Just think about land being cleared. Those of us, especially in the North Texas area, really in anywhere because of the way things are rapidly growing here, we see bulldozers knocking down trees all the time. New homes and buildings, commercial, residential, all kinds of construction is all around us. But just know that there are strong rocks to support the foundation. Okay? So now that the land has been surveyed, it's now time for the digging to begin. So what he needs to do now with Jesus in his mind now being that carpenter, is like, okay, let's bring in the bobcats now and start getting ready to do some digging. Let's call on the excavators. Let's get all the equipment we need because let's get the laborers all lined up because it's now time to start doing some digging. We've got a structure to build. And it starts with the hard work of digging. Now, as I was putting this message together, I almost called this message, What Lies Beneath? And the reason why I'm saying that is because what lies beneath us? If he's going to build his church through us, what's deep? What's deep down inside? What needs to be dug up? As we're getting down there, you know, we talked about the soil test, as we talked about here almost about a year ago, the parable of the soils, but what really lies beneath? What really lies beneath? What needs to be dug up? As our next slide shows, can Jesus lay down the rocks of your life and allow a strong foundation to be built? Can he lay down the rocks of your life and allow a strong foundation to be built? As I said earlier, the foundation is not beautiful. Digging is not a beautiful thing, but digging is necessary. It's not a beautiful thing, but digging is necessary. What's lying beneath the surface of our lives that we feel is too deep to be dug up? Is it unforgiveness? Is it hurt? Is it a feeling of insecurity? Is it a feeling of needing to be accepted? There are some things that are laying deep beneath our surface that needs to be dug up, because the only way the foundation can be laid is there has to be some digging. What's lying beneath the soil of our faith that's keeping our foundation unstable? Are you willing to give Jesus the shovel and allow him to dig out the hurt, dig out the pain, dig out the unforgiveness, dig out the hatred that can be so deep on the inside of us? Can we allow him to dig out the selfishness and the guilt, the condemnation, the idolatry, all of those things? Can we give him the shovel and let him dig these things up? What lies beneath the layers of our life that's keeping us from building our future? Do we just not have the patience to respect the process of foundation work? Do we not want to go through that process because we're so focused on the walls and the windows and all these exterior things, all these cosmetics, that we don't want to respect the importance of the foundation? In construction, one of the longest phases of the process is laying the foundation. The larger the structure, the deeper the foundation. It took nearly 2 years, and I watched this thing from start to finish get built. It took nearly 2 years for the foundation to be laid for the AT&T Stadium, which is the home of the Dallas Cowboys. It took nearly 2 years just digging, just straight digging, hitting rock, doing things, laying the foundation, getting everything dug and all that. Just 2 years, it was nothing but dirt work. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't extravagant, but it was necessary. Foundation work, ladies and gentlemen, is hard. It's not glamorous. Foundation work is often underappreciated, overlooked, and it's undervalued. Does that sound like anybody out there? Does that sound like any hard workers out there that may be underappreciated, undervalued? Does this seem to ring the bells of some of the familiar ears that we understand what it's like to be underappreciated, undervalued? Underappreciated, but necessary. Because you know that if you don't do the work that you do, the walls and the structure cannot be supported. So I want to encourage you, don't get weary in well-doing. Keep being that foundation, whether it's a job that you're on, whether it's the role that you play in a family, whatever it is, you keep being the foundation. You may not get the thank yous. You may not get the accolades. You may not get the love and the appreciation, but you know you have a job to do, because without it, the structure cannot and will not stand. Do we appreciate the patience it took for people to help lay a solid foundation in our lives? While we're wanting to be appreciated, do we do the appreciating? While we're wanting the accolades for the work that we're doing, are we giving accolades for the work that's being done for us? Foundation work is necessary, but oftentimes it's not really appreciated. Do we appreciate our parents? Do we appreciate our teachers? Do we appreciate any and everyone that took their time to lay the rocks so that we could have the strong foundation in our lives? Now, over time, our foundation can become unstable. Doors may not open in our lives because of the unstable foundation, but we may experience some unexpected shifting in our lives because of the unstable foundation. Cracks can become visible, and things may seem to be broken because of an unstable foundation in our lives. Your spiritual house, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, your spiritual house may start leaning in the wrong direction, and instability is all around you. But I want to tell you something on this morning. It doesn't have to stay that way. I want to tell you something on this morning. Foundations can be repaired. And thank God for Jesus, and because he is our holy carpenter. Jesus sees the cracks in your life and that you don't see. He can look from a distance and tell if you're leaning. He knows when the surface is not as flat as it should be, because Jesus is the holy carpenter of our lives. Where we're broken, he comes to fix us. Where we're unstable, he comes to stabilize us. When we are leaning, he pulls us back. And where we're leaking, he seals our cracks. Jesus is the holy carpenter of our lives. Well, I have a witness out there. Has somebody out there been broken and needed to be fixed? Has somebody been leaning in the wrong direction and he pulled you back up? Has somebody not realized that you had some cracks and you had some leaks and you had these things and he patched you up and he sealed in that ceiling and he did everything that needed to get you back running on your ship? Because Jesus is the holy carpenter of our lives. And as a matter of fact, he does the dirty work that no one else can do. And he does it all because he loves you. Jesus is the holy carpenter of our lives. When that foundation is damaged, he has the tools to help manage every broken place in our lives, and he silences all of our cries because Jesus is the holy carpenter of our lives. And I want to put a slide up here as I get ready to close this message here. As I want to put this slide up here, he repairs us with something special. His repair work is unique like nothing ever before. He repairs us with love, with joy, with peace, with patience, with kindness, with goodness, with faithfulness, with gentleness, and self-control. So I want you to let him repair the cracks of hate with love. Let him repair the cracks of sadness with joy. Let him repair that crack of worry with peace. Let him repair that crack of impatience with patience. Let him repair badness with goodness. Let him repair that crack of unfaithfulness with faithfulness. Let him repair that crack of brutality with gentleness. Let him repair that crack of no control with self-control. Let the fruit of his spirit, ladies and gentlemen, do the repair work in your life. And let the fruit of his spirit patiently lay the foundation for you. Can you give him the shovel so he can do the digging? Can you give him the shovel to get rid of all the soil deficiencies? Can you give him the shovel to allow him to get some things out of the way so he can lay a solid, a fresh, a new, an organic, a spiritually organic foundation in your lives? Allow those rocks to be in place. Call in the crews to pour in the concrete, to cure the concrete, to let it sit, to do all the framing work, to be able to build that structure and build that structure. The church is us. Can he build that solid structure of the church in our lives? Will you let him do the carpentry work? Will you stop feeling like you can do all the fixing by yourself? Will you stop feeling that you're tough and don't need anybody and take your hands off and let him be the carpenter of your lives? He's got the blueprint called Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans that he has for you. He's got that blueprint. Now, can you let him start the digging? He's got the blueprint. Can you let him start the digging? Somebody thought they could do this thing all by themselves. Somebody thought that they could do this all alone here. But as our slide says, he's your holy carpenter. and he wants to lay the foundation for the plans that he has for you. And as I get ready to close this message here, I want to thank you for tuning in. But here's the deal. I want to read to you Jeremiah 29 and 11, but I'm going to read the Message Bible's translation. I'm going to read the Message Bible's translation, and it says, here's God talking. God is talking to Jeremiah. Here's what God is saying. He's bringing it. Listen, God is bringing it to him raw. He's bringing it to him straight. This is what I love about this translation. God is saying, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans. He's a carpenter. He's got blueprint. Plans to give you a future you hope for. God is saying that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing because he made you in his image, and he knows those plans that he has for you here on assignment. And he knows what he's doing because he makes no mistake, ladies and gentlemen. No one can lay your foundation like Jesus can lay your foundation. No one can repair your foundation like Jesus can repair your foundation. Sometimes laying the foundation can be the longest part of construction. Because depending on how high you're going, higher heights, right? Faith to faith, glory to glory, you're going to different levels, and that part of the foundation may take some time. Don't get weary in the digging. Don't give up during the foundation process. You've got to understand that you're building something solid so that the structure can be supported. And sometimes foundation repair, if it ain't set right, let him take his time. Let him do what needs to be done. Because on the wrong, if it's a half-done job or you're trying to rush through it to try to satisfy somebody else's time or trying to please people over here or trying to do all these things, if you don't respect the process of the foundation, here's what can happen. Foundation work might be needed. And it can be one of the most expensive repairs that you'll ever do. Take the time now to allow the foundation to be solid. Because if you try to skip and you try to water it down and you try to go on too fast, later on down the road it's going to catch up with you. Because when that crack happens, the wall is going to be structured, the wall is going to, that structure is going to fall. If you miss a beat over here, the doors are going to be unlevel. So take the time and allow him to build that foundation in your life, so that he can do everything that he needs to do for you in your life. Okay, as I get ready to close here, when we understand the importance of the foundation, we will then have the wisdom to appreciate the foundation. But whether it's being laid in the beginning or it's being repaired later down the road, God wants his people who are called by his name, his people, Jeremiah 29 and 11, his people that live for him to understand that Jesus is the holy carpenter and he wants to be the rock of our foundation. Can we give God a praise for this word on today? I just want to give God a praise this word on today because somebody sometimes thinks they can do everything by themselves. I don't need anybody else. Remember, we talked about that. Okay? We talked about that in a power of relationships, okay? Because a threefold cord is not easily broken. We need people. We need relationships. We need to allow Jesus to lay that solid foundation because it wasn't meant for us to be alone. The Bible says it wasn't meant for us to be alone. We need to allow him to do the digging. We need to allow him to lay that foundation. And somebody out there thought they could do this all by themselves. They got their own shovel. They got their own tool belt. They got everything. But only if you allow him to do it through you will this structure last. For somebody out there on today that may not know that he's a carpenter, somebody out there that maybe today you may not have ever heard a word broken down to you like this. Maybe you didn't realize the importance of what it means to study to show yourself approved. Maybe you didn't realize the importance of Jesus being the foundation. Maybe you didn't know yourself that you've got a job to do, you've got work to do, and you need some encouragement, or maybe you just need to know him for yourself. Whoever that is, I want to say a prayer with you. Heavenly Father, that person, that man, that woman, that child, that boy, that girl, whoever they are, Lord, let them know. Let them taste and see that your carpenter work, Lord, is phenomenal. It's awesome. And it's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask, but according to the power that works in us when we allow you to do that work. Bring them closer to you, Father God. Let them know that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. They weren't meant to be and to do things alone and in this world alone. They need you, Father God. They need you, Lord, like never before. The enemy is busy, and we need you to be the rock of our foundation. We need your covering. We need your peace and your joy, Lord, that only you can give, Father God. Lay that foundation in this person's life, Lord. And for that person out there, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Create in me a clean heart. Be the holy carpenter of my life. Do the digging that you need to do. Remove all the unnecessary debris out of my life. Lay a fresh and a pure foundation in my life. Lay the rocks of my salvation, Lord, so that you can build a solid foundation in my life. Lord, build the walls and the structure. Hang the doors and the mirrors. Put a beautiful roof on top and allow me to be that beautiful sanctuary that you've called for me to be for such a time as this. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all of the glory, and you sit at the right hand of the Father, and I will see you soon. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you believe that prayer, if you believe that in all of your heart, it doesn't matter who's looking at you, who's thinking about you, and all these other things, that this is between you and the holy carpenter. This is between you and sweet Jesus. This is between you and the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher of your faith. You, my friend, are saved, and I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. And here's the deal. If you accepted him, shoot us a note. Email us, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. We want to grow with you. You can come join this ministry here. You can come and grow with us in the soil. We're going to give you rich word. We're going to walk through you. We're going to walk you through these steps. We're going to help you prepare to be used in a way in which God needs for you to be used. We're going to help you build that solid foundation as he builds it through you. We're going to give you practical biblical teaching that's going to help you in your life. And if you want to join us today, shoot us a note, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Got a little tongue twister. Thank you. Here we go. Put it up on the screen. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We want to give you information here, allow you to join this ministry here. We got some great things that are happening. Been talking to people here in the local Dallas-Fort Worth community. We're about to get some things going, y'all. We're about to get some things going. You want to be a part of it. It's going to be some amazing things. But right now, we're starting with small beginnings. It's not about where we're starting. It's all about where we're going. But right now, as we grow, it's going to take resources. That's right. It's going to take resources to help us grow. So right now, it's one of our favorite times of service. It's giving time. All right, right now it's giving time. You can give to us in a few ways, okay? You can give to us on Givelify, okay, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. You can give to us through Zelle. You can pull up the church email address, right? The church email address on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Okay? I could tell you can send it old-fashioned to our P.O. box, but I don't think many of us want to do that here. But you can give to us those two ways, and we'll have more ways to give here as we continue to grow and all that. But let me tell you something. Okay, you can give. You can give. You don't have to be. You can be a member of another church. What we're going to do is we're going to pray over your offerings, and maybe God can use you wherever you are. We just want to be a part of what the Holy Carpenter's plans is for your life. You can be a member. I don't care where you are in the nation. You can be an e-member. We welcome your gifts. We welcome your talents. Bring all of that into the storehouse because we've got some amazing things to do. And who knows, wherever you are, you could be in Chicago, Illinois right now. You can be in Miami, Florida right now, okay? Some of y'all from all across the earth, California, right? A lot of y'all, hey, you want to be a part of this thing here, you can. And we're going to continue to grow. We're going to have a Zoom meeting coming up real soon for our new members. But right now, if you just give, I want to pray over your offerings. I want to pray over them right now because, listen, I have seen him do some amazing things since we started receiving offerings in this ministry. God has been opening doors. My wife will tell you, he's been opening doors like never before. We are experiencing overflow right now like I've never seen before. I am telling you, overflow is just, all I can do is tell you to taste and see. If you give into good ground here, we pray over your messages here. We pray over your offerings here as we give our messages as well. We pray over your offerings. And I just want to thank God in advance for a hundredfold return. Lord, for that person that's given, that's believing in where this ministry is going, Lord. I want to thank you for that seed that's being planted. That seed is falling on good ground, Lord. Lord, increase that seed a hundredfold. Increase that seed and use it for your purpose and your glory. Whatever they are believing you for, Lord, help them to speak, to name that seed. Whatever that seed is, whether it's to grow from a stronghold, to be broken from envy or jealousy, whatever that is, whatever that seed is, Lord, we know that you can bring forth a wonderful harvest. We know that you can grow them out of whatever it is. It's not just monetary. It's spiritually. It's emotionally. It's all of these things because you're all about growth, Lord, and there's no limit on how you can grow us, Lord. So I want to thank you for that seed. Lord, let it just be planted, Lord. Let it grow. Let it harvest. Let it continue to increase. Use it for your purpose and your glory. And, Lord, just grow in them because you are able to, Ephesians 3 and 20, their lives. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask according to the power that works within us. And we want to thank you for the obedience. We want to thank you for the service. We want to thank you for that seed right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you as we close this message out, Lord, that you're going to bring us back here next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, for another powerful, dynamic word. We ask that you give us your traveling grace. Cover us wherever we are. The enemy is so busy, but, Lord, he's not busier than your shield of protection. Keep your people covered. Keep your people under your shield. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm out of gas. I have poured it all out. I have poured out my drink offering, and I want to thank you for spending that time with us on this morning. We're going to be back next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and I just want to thank y'all for spending this time with us on this morning. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn thanking you for spending this time with us, and I want to wish you a wonderful week. Be safe out there. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next week. And as we always say, next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, don't meet me there. Beat me there. Have a great day, folks, and we'll talk to you soon. Love you.
Oh, 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 yeah. Ooh, I just need my one-on-one time with you. No interruptions. I just want it to be me and you. I need a one-on-one. I just need a one-on-one with you. Be selfish, but I just can't help it when it comes down to you. And wait on you. just can't help it when it comes down to you. In your presence is where I want to be. There is love there, peace there, so much joy. I love our time alone, just you and me. I need a one-on-one. Just need a one-on-one. I know it's been a long time since you've heard from me, but if you just give me a little time, if you just give me a little time, I promise I won't be long.
I just need
my one-on-one. I know I walked away, but I'm coming back to stay with you. I'm coming back to you, to you. I'm running back to you, to you. I lift my hand to you, to you, to you. Ooh, I just need my one-on-one time with you, you.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the Word of God like we've never needed the Word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, and as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord, 10 a.m. every Sunday. Join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God.
And I am Deanne Lacks, co-host of Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
We invite you to listen each Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time as we inspire and uplift your lives with incredible inspirational music and exceptional conversations with a variety of thought leaders, artists, and experts.
You will also experience empowerment through our engaging segments. So, join us each Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where you will
have a fresh start,
gain a renewed heart,
and learn to live smart right here
on Brand New Day
with Emily Bloom.
We Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have 2 youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.
This is Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Soil Church. Join me right here on Shine Lord Radio Show every Sunday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on We Talk Radio. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.